Welcome back to the Dissenter Podcast. It's so great to have you here. Joining me today are our friends from Anuj Social. That's Anuj Ahuja and Brian Barrett. Thank you for joining me, guys. It's so good to see you again.
Yeah, it's always fun chatting.
We're excited to be here.
So Anuj Social is a pretty interesting organization. Really, it's kind of a formal structure around what was really kind of like a long-running indie web, open source, federated bridge project. And while a lot of the technology, Ryan, that you've developed working on BridgeFed powers what Anuj Social is doing nowadays, it's really interesting to see like all the ways that you're starting to branch out and experiment with making the Fediverse a little more accessible. So I was kind of wondering if you could talk about, you know, what have you guys been doing the last few months?
Anuj?
Sure, yeah. Like you said, Ryan kind of built a pretty strong foundation for us before I even came along with BridgeFed. And kind of when I was looking at that bridge, I was like, oh, there's a lot of cool stuff we can do, especially as it's starting to become more of what seems like critical infrastructure for a lot of users and platforms. And so when Ryan was interested in creating governance around this, I was like, I don't think this is just governance. Like, we can probably build some really cool stuff around this. And one of the things that kind of came out of our early conversations around what we wanted to do with the organization was something like Bounce, which helps you use the bridge to kind of migrate between different protocols and all that kind of stuff. On top of that, you know, BridgeFed as a service was really, really well built in a way where you could be on your native platform, follow the BridgeFed account, and it would bridge you automatically. But we found that for a lot of average users, that wasn't really a great user experience. And so the other first thing that Ryan and I started thinking about is like, okay, how do we make this easier to understand, make it a little bit more accessible? So like one of the first things we launched was a settings page together. And so that's kind of what we're focused on right now is like, one, kind of making BridgeFed a little bit more accessible and easier to understand for people that aren't like us and understand this stuff. And then seeing like what can BridgeFed enable outside of just the bridge stuff. So things like Bounce and Discovery and stuff like that. So, you know, we're just getting started. I think BridgeFed and Bounce are a really great foundation for us to kick things off with. But long term, yeah, we're hoping we can kind of use the mechanisms that we've built out to kind of improve the experience across multi-protocol services. Just in general, like I think there's a lot you can do in between the protocols. So I'm looking forward to like testing some new ideas out.
Yeah. And I mean, something that's really interesting about BridgeFed is that, as you guys have sort of stated before, it's very much a solution built on pure protocols rather than some little like weird middleware that is external to those things. So like, as I understand it, your architecture is pretty unique, like standing where it is within the Fediverse and within the atmosphere. You know, you guys basically have your own PDS, as I understand it, but it also, you know, is able to talk back to the rest of the Fediverse through ActivityPub.
Yeah, that's right. That is kind of, if you think about the design, it participates at the protocol level with any of these networks. And so in the atmosphere for Blue Sky, it is a PDS. In the Fediverse, it basically is a Fediverse instance. In the indie web, it kind of exposes those networks as kind of indie web websites that can talk via web mention. And so, yeah, it participates in these networks kind of like as natively as possible and just translates between them.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to pick on that a little bit and just say that, you know, you guys have been looking very carefully at like helping people understand what it is that BridgeFed does. There's sometimes some misunderstandings as far as like, oh, is this just scraping my data and shoving it somewhere else? Is this mirroring my account somewhere else? But you know, you've been very, very forthright, Ryan, with trying to set expectations for users and for the community. And, you know, you've gone out of the way to actually make sure that it is like a consent first platform. What kind of things are you looking at nowadays to make Anuj Social and BridgeFed more accessible to people? I know we've talked about Bounce and we've written about it, but I think like at a high level, it'd be really interesting to understand like what problem is Bounce actually trying to solve?
Yeah. I'm going to mostly defer to Anuj here. Anuj has been thinking about this idea, like what Bounce does. This is my kind of cross-network migration tool for, I think, years. And it was kind of just serendipity that, you know, not only did we come together and say, hey, like BridgeFed works, let's keep building this, but it had a number of the building blocks to make that kind of migration tool work. So Anuj?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ryan. So I think there's kind of two parts to that, right? Of like, how are we trying to make these things more accessible, and specifically where kind of Bounce fits into that? As far as making things more accessible, like we've done like the setting stage and stuff, like there's stuff that's under our control and what we can do. But we also know that you have to meet users like where they already are. And so like we started on platforms and like service owners and stuff like that, and trying to figure out user experiences that like make sense for them. Like some Fediverse instances might be like, hey, I'm starting this new instance and everybody that joins this instance automatically gets bridged. And here's like a settings page within our UI that will like let you change that if you want to, right? And so we're like, hey, we should, you know, if a platform is interested or a client is interested, then maybe we can help them surface that stuff. And Ryan's already built out kind of all the APIs to make that easy. In fact, I was just on a call earlier today with a platform that was interested. I just sent them the docs and they're like, all right, well, maybe we'll talk to you after we built it, right? Like it was already good to go. Yeah, no, seriously, like it's a, like I said before, fantastic foundation, right? So that's one way of like just meet the users where they already are, because like they shouldn't have to go to like this weird produce that setting space that we put together. It's a good backup for places where that's not available, but like really we should just be at the forefront wherever the platforms feel like they should be, right? So that's one thing. Bounce, as far as accessibility, is another interesting one because it does use BridgeFed as a mediator. So you kind of, if you're not already onboarded to BridgeFed, you kind of just get onboarded in that process. And so you don't really have to think about BridgeFed at that point. You're just using the tool and this thing already exists. And so like that's the other accessibility side of things. But also with Bounce, and I think Ryan put it well in one of our chats a while back, like we're not expecting people to use Bounce every day. Like we want to make it accessible. We want it to be easy to use. But like in a lot of ways, we look at Bounce as an escape hatch, right? Of like either you found a new platform on the other side that works for you, or like where you already are, you feel like it doesn't do what it needs to for you, right? Like there's many reasons why we want to leave platforms or try something new. And this is like a really easy escape hatch to do that. Yeah. And so like, you know, like even as a power user myself, like I don't plan on using Bounce every other week to like bounce between Blue Sky, Mastodon and back, right? Like that's just not the intent there. No. But the goal, but the main thing about Bounce is like something like that one needs to exist, right? Like it should be there for people who need it. And like, it should be there for developers that feel like some things are not like possible to do. Like it's easy to migrate stuff between ActivityPub. It's easy to migrate stuff within AT Proto. But like, we want to like push these standards to their limits and show like, hey, this is possible too. So it's not just accessibility as far as like average users. There's also this accessibility thing of like, hey, developers can build this into their services, rather than just depending on us. And we've done it in a multi-protocol way. But like one of the things I said at my FediCon presentation was like, build this stuff like into your platform. Like this should just be like, when I am signing up for your Fediverse platform, you should be like, hey, if you already have an account somewhere in this wild space that's this open social web place, like let's help bring as much of that stuff over here so that you can just use this platform that you're about to sign up for, not have to worry about the other stuff. And so it's also about like, proving that these things are possible and then making it easy for developers just to like dig into our code and be like, how did they build this? Let me build this too. So it's like multifaceted. Like, yes, we're going to do the things that are under our control. We're going to work with platforms. But then it's also like, hey, these are the kind of mechanisms you can build for users. Go add them to your platform so that users kind of see these at the forefront and see the benefits of the open social web, not just these kind of Twitter copies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely an interesting takeaway that I've kind of developed over time, looking at what you've been able to do with cross-protocol migration. It's really kind of ironic and probably by design that, you know, a lot of these centralized social networks like Facebook is a really good example. They give you like a comprehensive archive of your data. You know, Google Takeout's also like pretty robust in what it offers you. For the most part, you can't import it into anything. Like, you're just kind of stuck with an archive. Like some people will hack little tools together to like put up a web page that renders like your data objects or something. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, the ability, I think it was actually said during FediCon, one of the freedoms that is most important for the open social web, like one of our killer features is the ability to leave.
Yeah. And you can always leave anything. You just stop using it, try to delete your stuff. And yeah, like that, the tech industry kind of slowly grew that convention of, okay, you deserve and we'll get a data export. And that's great. You know, it's a first step. Yeah, to your point, there is no standard convention yet for being able to import that anywhere else. And also, there's no online interop.
No.
So even if, for example, you could export your posts and your followers and followers and everything else from Blue Sky and try to import them into a Mastodon instance, maybe the posts would work. And it would look at the followers and follows and say, okay, I see all of these, but like, I don't get this DID thing. What is Blue Sky? I don't know. Like, do they talk ActivityPub? No, then this doesn't work. And so, yeah, the point where we are migrating and saying you keep all your followers and you keep some of your follows, we think is important. I think Anuj put the very kind of positive, optimistic stance, like put it really well. Maybe cynical description would be like, in some sense, tools like Bounce are insurance policies against inshitification.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, like you know, Blue Sky, you know, Mastodon, all these teams like have the best intentions and we believe them, you know. But this kind of thing, you know, we hope is a backup, you know, that keeps them honest. And you know, when Anuj says we don't expect people to use it daily. Yeah, and we kind of don't even expect or hope many people use it, period. Like, we hope people start where they are and they're happy there and everything works. You know, this is, again, an insurance policy in case people get unhappy or something goes downhill.
Yeah. Well, and to Anuj's point that he said earlier, it's not like you expect people to be using this frequently. Like, there's not some lunatic that's, like, logging in every day and he's like, okay, now I'm going to move it back to Mastodon, and then tomorrow I'll move it back to Blue Sky. Not really a use case for what you guys are trying to do.
And look, if someone wants to do that, more power to you, right? Like, holy.
I mean, but you can.
Of course you can. It's just, that's not the expectation. And I think that's like a fair expectation to have. Like, I really I don't plan on bouncing my main accounts anytime soon, right? Like, I'm pretty happy with my current social media state of things. Maybe in the future that'll change and I'll want to use it, but like, For this is like, it's that insurance policy that Ryan was talking about. Specifically, like this, I think I mentioned this in my FedCon presentation as well. It's like the promise of the open social web in general, like whether you're on AT Proto or ActivityPub, like the thing is you can follow anyone from anywhere and leave at any time, right? Like, that is the most basic way to explain like the benefit of the open social web. And then I always add that like kind of, because you can, right? Like, especially if you're on one protocol and you want to go to another. And so a part of the process of like the stuff that we're building out is also this idea of like, we make a lot of lofty promises. And I think a lot of us know where those kind of lines are drawn and where you can't go and where you can go and who you can't follow and who you can't. But then I turn around to like my buddies and they're like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, this is one, not possible. And two, it's like, it's complicated, right? And so it's like a part of our mission is around like making good on these promises. When we talk about the open social web, and maybe it's like, you know, a kind of guilt thing where like we did promise a lot of this stuff and I feel guilty for kind of making that promise and then it not really coming true at the end of the day without some of these tools in between. But I do think like it's clear that it's possible. And so we should build it so that it exists. And that's the most important thing to us.
Well, and there's definitely an argument to be made for having a basic thing that can do it first rather than spending years and years trying to write like the perfect, like abstract protocol extension thing. Like, I think a lot of the lessons that you're learning building Bounce and these things right now will probably be applicable like well down the road once we've solved certain kinds of problems, or at least we'll have blueprints to look at and say, hey, we at least know how to move like these actors to different systems with different data schemas.
Yeah.
I think like also you guys probably have thought about this a lot, but it's a major headache. The fact that the identity layer in the Fediverse is so fragile. And I know we've talked about this at length before, but you know, given that you're specifically working in this area, like it's definitely like a top of mind concern. Like, what can we do about that?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us thought about this for a long time, and you know, just to kind of make it explicit, your identity in the Fediverse like embeds your server in it. You are, you know, like at Dead Superhero at WeDistribute.com, right? Or, you know, I don't know if I got it right, but like that, the WeDistribute.com, and that's a specific server. And if you ever want to go somewhere else, there is this kind of bare bones migration thing where some servers will support it and you move your followers. But you will then be at Dead Superhero at newserver.com. It's a new identity. And
not
on
to
the
mention,
one hand,
migration
please.
Does not work perfectly across platforms. Learned this the hard way when WordPress announced, like, hey, with this plugin now, you can totally move your Mastodon account over. I'm like, great, let's try it. And of course, like, it's not really Mastodon that we're running for our server. So, like, it was bound to have bugs. But now, like, we're stuck on WordPress. It's like, okay, how do we, what if we want to leave that? You know, it's not an ideal situation where you're always migrating into a system that accounts for the needs of migrating back out.
And it's kind of heartbreaking because, like, on the one hand, I mean, it's even more than identity, the way the Fediverse is built now and the way everyone does ActivityPub, every ID, you know, not just for actors, but for posts, everything else, is HTTP based. And so the server name is in every object identifier. Technically, ActivityPub doesn't require that. Technically, you could use different transports. No one has. And so, yeah, someone always pops up and says, oh, yeah, but you could just plug DIDs into ActivityPub. Like, on the one hand, yes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, DIDs are not, DIDs are just for identity, not for everything else. And this is like boiling the ocean. And so, like, I would love for someone to try, and I would, you know, we'd happily talk with them and, you know, see what we can do together. But it's, yeah, it's a, it would be a massive shift to do anything where you have portable identity.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily impossible. I just don't think we're at that necessary inflection point yet. We might never be, who knows. But it's nevertheless like an interesting thing to think about, especially as you guys are trying to figure out like what the heck does identity mean when you move from one network to another.
Yep. Yeah. And migration is obviously one big part of it. Another thing we've been thinking about a lot with identity, both, you know, account identity and like post, et cetera, identity, is we put out a blog post about this. I mean, often people think, oh, let's make a new system that kind of like works for everything. And, you know, there's like famous XKCD.
That's
about
all,
this.
Like, there are now 15 standards name, right?
Yeah.
Launches in my brain every day we work on.
Oh, yeah. And it's a natural idea, and you get it. And if you were able to do it and get everyone on board and you foresaw all of the problems and designed it perfectly, that would work. But of course, that's not the real world. And so one thing we've worked on, and we're kind of trying to talk to a lot of people about so they can kind of use it too, is this idea that we're calling account links. Instead of making some new thing, we just take the existing things and add a little metadata to every account that says, oh yeah, this account is all in the Fediverse, is also this account in Blue Sky. Like, all it is this, you know, just the identity. Like, it's this one too. So, and likewise, if you're bridged from Blue Sky, you can stick something in the Blue Sky DID doc. Oh, this account is also in the Fediverse, is this.
So it's like a cross protocol, also known as field, basically.
It is literally, so in literally DID that, docs, it's literally also known as,
weird, okay.
Yeah, and in both, I think both ActivityPub and the DID docs, and so it's, it uses the existing standards and protocols. There's nothing new, you know, no big new thing people have to adopt, but we're trying to encourage client developers, platform developers to basically see this and say, oh, like, if I see one that's formatted for Blue Sky or for ActivityPub or for something else, yeah, I can start to do something more intelligent. I can link to it. I can kind of, if I'm a cross-protocol client, I can kind of automatically go fetch and use the original one because it will be the highest fidelity. It won't be truncated or anything else, you know. And so this works for accounts. It mostly works for posts too. So there are similar places you can put these links, you know, like, here's this post over in Blue Sky. Oh, here's this post over in the Fediverse. And so, yeah, we're trying to encourage people to start using this. One, because it'll be a better experience for users. And two, because we we want more bridges to exist. Like, we love that there are other bridges. We think there should be more. We don't want to be, you know, the only game in town. We're already not, but we're one big one. And so we're going to need a way for these bridges to see each other and not step on each other's toes. And so this is an important kind of tool for that.
Yeah, 100%. I guess, like, a lot has happened since you guys, you know, incorporated into a new social. Could you, like, maybe just do a quick summary of some of the stuff you've been working on recently?
Yeah, I know if you got it in your head.
Yeah, I feel like it's been so much stuff. I'm trying to think. A lot of it we've shared pretty publicly. Like, Balance is probably, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The Bridges at Settings page was kind of the first thing we went out and did, and it gave me a chance to kind of dive into the code a little bit and learn a little bit about what Ryan's built. So that was, like, a lot of fun to do. So those were probably, like, the two major launches. We've also been working on, you know, this is something that we've started testing a little bit, and we've been pretty public about it on GitHub. We've actually added a few testers from the GitHub issue. Essentially, one of the issues with bridging is if someone who is not bridged interacts with you on the other side of the bridge, you don't see those responses or those mentions or anything like that, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just not possible because we don't want to expose them to a protocol or ecosystem that they haven't signed up for. So we're not going to do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I know you have a lot of opinions about that, Sean, so I'll let you talk. But, you know, there's also this other side of, if someone is interacting with something that I've posted, I should at least be aware that
yeah.
someone's done, or someone mentions me, I should at least be aware that I've been mentioned somewhere else using an account that I actually own and I'm like using actively, right? And so one of the things that we're starting towards is figuring out, like, how do we do this in a way that preserves the privacy of the user on the other side while also informing you? And so the approach that we found that's been kind of working so far is DMs. So we actually have this, for now, it's like an hourly digest that goes out, which says, hey, here's some of the interactions that have happened on the other side of the bridge that you will not have been notified of because those people aren't bridged and that you can see them on the other side. We want to do more with that. For now, we're just testing out this idea to see if it, you know, works and if it's stuff that people are actually using and there's like enough activity happening that it makes sense to invest further in. But that's the other thing that we've been thinking about is, like, how do we handle some of these, like, problems that we've essentially created with tools like Bridges, which is like, hey, you're not actually seeing all of your stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason, like, when we started this organization, like, that became a focus is because I remember when Threads first started federating, they were only doing it in a way where you would post stuff and it would go to the other side and you would literally see nothing that was happening with your post on the Fediverse. And, like, I was okay with it because I know how the stuff works. Again, right? Like, in this room, we're like, yeah, of course you can. But to the average user, they're like, I just went to Mastodon and I saw some pretty weird stuff happening on my post. And then they unfederated, right? Because they're like, I had no idea that there was a whole bunch of people over there interacting with my stuff in a way that I didn't want them to, right? And so they turned it off and it put them off to the Fediverse, right? And I was like, well, we're kind of in a similar position with BridgeFed. And so while we can't solve all of those problems today, we should at least start showing that, like, one, we are aware of this problem and, like, start thinking through solutions. And this is, like, one step towards that. So we're kind of learning from the mistakes of people's past and, like, trying to make sure we don't make those same mistakes.
Yeah, that was what I was going to touch on. Two thoughts. One, it's really kind of funny that you're describing the first problem with, like, oh, you can't see, like, other people's replies from the other side. I remember very, like, late on the Diaspora project when Hubzilla started becoming a thing. They reverse engineered the Diaspora Federation protocol. And so, like, some people had that Federation bridge turned on, some people didn't. So you'd have, like, broken context across, you know, both platforms. So what was really funny, and it was, like, innovative at the time, but, like, a lot of people got mad at it, was that Mike McGirvin, the Hubzilla developer at the time, basically, like, did a cross-protocol backfill type thing where it would just kind of, like, scrape the posts from the context on the other side and just, like, stuff it inside of your status. So you would be saying, like, Sean says, Jim said, and, you know, it was, like, very ugly and messy, but it was, like, the only way they could make it work back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a, you know, Fediverse kind of inbox delivery is, you know, famously inconsistent and, yeah, like, hacks like that, yeah, you find band-aids and it helps. yeah, that's just a part of ActivityPub in the Fediverse that's tough. It's like ActivityStream's too. Audience targeting is
very
famously
weird.
Poorly understood and, you know, not fully implemented. And if it was perfect from, you know, if everyone did it perfectly, would we still have this problem? Maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, it is. It's, yeah, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's peculiar because in a lot of ways, the addressing scope system is very email-like with its 2CC. And, you know, really the public collection thing was almost sort of a hack they initially put on it. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you wouldn't really have public posts. You just sort of get people's stuff sent to you, and then it wouldn't really have that sort of public discoverability element.
Yep. Yeah, and even the addressing is like related to inbox delivery, but not like perfectly dependent, or, you know, doesn't perfectly drive it. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I can also run down some of the other stuff we've done kind of since I was on last and since we formed the organization quickly, if you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please do.
You know, I think like it was a really big surprise when a new social was initially announced. It was a happy surprise, but it's like, wow, this came out of nowhere. I'm really happy to see this happening. And it seems like you all have had some tremendous growth in terms of your development, in terms of the projects you have been able to put on your plates. And, you know, it seems like you're not really slowing down in terms of ideas.
No, thank you. And we hope not. No, I loved that, you know, when I put that post out there saying, hey, like, this thing is one guy's side project, there's kind of nothing around it. I just popped up and said, yeah, I can help and we can actually make this real. It has very much taken all of this to the next level. It's felt like there's more of a foundation we can really go forward from. And also Anush has like really strong kind of big, clear vision for how, what we can do and what we can build here. And it's been great. Since I was on last and since we kind of set up the org, we got an amazing board in place. They've helped in a ton of ways. We started fundraising in a couple of ways. We have a Patreon and a bunch of people have been really generous there. We've also started going after and started landing institutional grants.
That's amazing.
Yeah. At that same early time, another thing I worked on for a while was cost cutting for just the cost of hosting BridgeFed. One way that helps, you know, when you go talk to people about grants is showing them that you're being responsible with the money, et cetera. And so over a period of about 6 months, around that time, I think we got the hosting costs down by half while the user count grew by about 2x. So we felt good about that. Stability overall has also improved over the last year, year and a half. It's been a long time since we've had any, non-trivial downtime. And I'm under the delay, the propagation delay a lot. Like if you post something or like something, like how long does it take to get across the bridge? And it's usually these days like 10 digit seconds, every now and then over a minute, but not often. Other infrastructure stuff we worked on, there was a big, Blue Sky had a big kind of, revamp of, there's kind of addition to how they do their fire hose, and that took some work. It was fun, but, it was a big project. And then just user growth. I should have looked at some other numbers for where we came from, but right now we're at about 115,000 total users, about 55,000 monthly active, about 20,000 daily active. And it's hard for us to take credit for the activity because that's them using.
You didn't make anybody post anything.
And it's not, they're not like using BridgeFed directly. It's all indirect, but we would be a decent sized Fediverse instance. We're in the same, starting to get into the same neighborhood of total and active users as, or at least active users as networks like Nostr and Farcaster. So it's starting to feel real.
And with your organization kind of taking a more concrete structure, has this given you opportunities to reach out to other orgs and other projects, other protocols? Like, what has that been like to like be able to say to like Threads, like, hey, we're the guys that do this thing. We think we should talk,
Yeah. Oh, it's been awesome, right? In fact, like before we started the organization, like one of the things that we agreed on is like, let's talk to some of like the current platforms that exist and see if they like would like to see us exist and like to work with us as an organization. And it was like a resounding yes. Like it was amazing, right? Like we talked to, as you said, Threads, we talked to Blue Sky, we talked to folks at Mastodon, Flipboard, like a bunch of these like well-known organizations, and all of them were like, how can we help, right? Like that was one of the great things. And they started spitballing ideas as to like how they can include bridging into their services and all that kind of stuff. So it's been amazing. Like the, you know, mass majority of the response, and this is something I'm surprised with, and Ryan is often too, is majority of the time when we announce something, when we launch something, like whether it's an organization or just like users, it's like they see the vision, they understand what we're trying to do, and it's mostly positive. And as three people that have been in this space for a long time, we all know that that's like not a normal thing. There's usually a lot of detractors and all that kind of stuff. But like, you know, there's been here and there, there's been some feedback that we've gotten, and we've spoken about that feedback and how we feel about it, and come like to kind of a middle ground with folks that disagree with us in those conversations. But being an organization, I think it's helped those conversations a lot more than before, because it's clear to the people and the organizations that talk to us that we have like these very clear policies and like the way that we want to operate as an organization. So yeah, it's been, you know, Ryan could probably speak to it a lot better, but I do feel like having this organization around it has at least lended to like this, not necessarily credibility, but like this more of a trust around the fact that this thing has a decision-making process and we're not just kind of like flying by the wheel kind of thing. But Ryan, like you saw the before and after of BridgeFed in and out of the organization. Like, did you feel like there was this like shift in tone after the fact, or has it been mostly kind of the same stuff since before?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely, I think a shift in tone. It feels more substantial. It feels kind of a more like there's more of something here to people. We just, and also, yeah, I mean, I think you touched on another one. Which is, I mean, there's so much more we've put together, and you've especially put together. There's so many relationships across these networks in these spaces. There are so many people we can go lean on and say, hey, can you help us with this? Or like, would you consider doing this? And a lot of them coming to us and saying, hey, we want to integrate. Like, how, like, can we get this working? Can we get that working? And so it's a lot of fun. And then the board, I think, yeah, like there's a handful of people there. If I need a threat model for a specific thing we're building, or we need a connection somewhere, or like, a really experienced sanity check, like, oh, we're thinking this, is that crazy? Is, you know, has anyone tried it? Yeah, there's, feels like there's so many more resources and so many more connections now, largely, I think, due to Anuj and the org.
Wow, that's amazing.
I do, like, Ryan's mentioned the board a couple of times. Our board is just a force amplifier that I can't even begin to explain. Like, they have, you know, when you start an organization, the board, And like I've had conversations about this, where most people feel like their board is almost like this kind of weight on the shoulders of like, you have to like, they're like authority. And they are, right? Like they are making sure we're doing things the right way. They're giving us feedback on the way that we operate. But they, in a lot of ways, like Ryan and I will have an idea of how something should be developed or like the way that something should work. And we'll sit down on a chat with one or more of our board members, and they will drastically shift our thinking because they're all incredibly experienced in this space. They've seen a lot, like we're talking like Ben Wernmuller, Susan Vernet, Aaron Kazane, like they have seen things, right? They know how this stuff works and where things lead. And so being able to like review a blog post about Bounce and how it works with these folks who know how to speak on these things, and then giving feedback and being like, hey, I would change the way you say this because I don't think you're explaining properly, from that to like major decision making about like how DM notifications should work. Just, it's, Ryan and I could not have, like, to be very frank, like, we would have made some pretty weird decisions without our board being around giving us advice.
I can't truly even imagine.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
Like, it sounds like you both are really lucky to have, like, that resource of people that just really have, like, a strong gut check and a lot of, like, technical familiarity. It would have been horrible if you just had a bunch of people that were just, like, indifferent, or they just shrugged, or they're, like, they didn't have the insight that you needed. So that's a very happy set of circumstances that y'all can work together that way.
Yeah,
it really worked out. I mean, I was already excited about them joining and working with us because we've looked up to all of them for quite a while. But yeah, the amount of, because the biggest thing to me is like, they're all very busy folks. Like they have a lot of stuff that they're working on, but they've always taken out the time for us and like made sure that we're making the right decisions. And yeah, I think, you know, I think we consider ourselves like super lucky just to have the team that we have around. So as far as the organization goes, like I was fearful of the board and the way we were going to put it together. And like, I'd always heard the horror stories, but so far it's just been like this kind of incredible experience of like, that's man, funny. I would have made some bad decisions without these folks around me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really good. And it sounds like y'all are at a pretty healthy place right now, as far as just feeling enabled, and supported to do what you want to do. What does the next 6 months look like for you guys?
Good question.
Yeah,
a lot of what you've already seen and making that better, I think, is still going to be a lot of it. There's a lot of ideas that we have within BridgeyFed and Bounce that we want to build. BridgeyFed specifically, I think we've been pretty open about the fact that, like, yes, right now it's Activity Pub, AT Proto on the web. We want to explore other protocols and see how it fits into that realm. And before I move forward, I want to make it clear we will never opt anyone into a protocol without their permission. But we do feel that to level the playing field properly, that we want to add these other protocols, level that playing field, and make sure that the users can choose what they want. And then in tow, make that compatible with Bounce, so that if someone's like, I still want all of my people, but this actually seems like it's working better for me, giving them the tools to shift where they want to, right? And so we want to continue leveling that playing field on the BridgeyFed side. There's a bunch of other features that we want to add to BridgeyFed, making those notifications better. Like, we've been thinking through the right approach around user experience around that. And then with Bounce, you know, we're only going one way and it's only two platforms. There's a lot of other ones that we want to do. So that's going to be a little bit of a focus for us as well. That's like from the product side, but there's a lot of stuff on the engineering side that I'm going to let Ryan speak to, because there's a lot of work that we want to do there too. So Ryan, if you want to jump in and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it there is just supporting this new, you know, all the new stuff we want to build, you know, whether it's new networks or these notifications, bigger ideas with Bounce. They're also like much bigger, kind of crazier ideas. I usually had some of the most interesting kind of big crazy ideas, and we should talk about maybe some of them.
Yeah, I didn't say the crazy ideas yet, mostly because I don't know if it's going to be the next 6 months, but I also, like, I'm sure we're going to have that conversation soon enough. We have some wild ideas about what we could do with this stuff, but go ahead.
One thing we've talked about, you know, it's much more kind of mundane, and it's not, we're not actively working on yet, but we've been talking a lot about so you could run your own instance of BridgeyFed right now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some work. It's not really designed to be self-hosted. It was just like, I think too, you know, you ask the Mastodon people, the Pleroma, Akamai, any of these people, it takes work to build software that someone else is going to run and have that be usable and reliable, etc. A while ago I kind of made that decision, like, oh, I'm going to run this primarily as a service, and all the work I don't have to do making it kind of easily usable and runnable by other people, like, that'll give me more time to spend on, you know, features, etc. We've heard from some people who kind of, you know, worry that we're the only game in town, or that kind of want to help and say, well, if I run an instance, we'll take the load off you, or bigger platforms that want to integrate with Blue Sky and maybe kind of want to own their own destiny. Putting more work into making BridgeyFed hostable is one example there. We've gotten kind of mixed interest. There aren't a ton of people just like foaming at the mouth saying, yeah, I got to have this. And so that's one thing we thought about. We haven't like actively started yet.
Kind of extend on that, actually, Ryan, is like, we want that to happen at some point. Like, it's something that we've spoken about a lot. Like Ryan said, there's been kind of a mixed response, and I don't think it's because people don't want to do it. I think a lot of people are just like, we're actually kind of fine with the way things are right now. Maybe they'll change their minds in the future, and like, then we'll be ready to go. But one of the things I don't want to do is start on this project without anyone wanting it or saying they want it.
Yeah.
Launching it. And then when someone wants to use it, they're like, you did it all wrong. This isn't how I wanted this to be categorized or how I wanted to solve this, right? So one of the approaches that like Ryan and I had agreed on is like, let's find a partner or two to be like, how would you want this to take shape? What makes sense in your context? And then go forward and be like, okay, let's build this thing in a way that makes sense for these first few partners that actually want something like this. Because, you know, we can build this in a vacuum. Like there's some very obvious things that we should do to like make this easy to self-host. But at the same time, like I think if there's a lot more value when you have people that know what they want, and what they want out of that functionality, and you can really make it like exactly what other people are going to want. So, you know, we have some, we've spoken of some like very early ideas of how something like that could look. But I'd much rather go to someone that actually wants this and is like, this is the shape I need it in. And then we go and deliver it. And you know, it's not to say that people aren't interested. In fact, at FedEcon, I had a couple of people being like, that's cool. Like, that would be interesting. Like, I'd like to see how that would look. And I had conversations after FedEcon like that as well. But everyone right now in this current state that we're in is like, I think things are fine for now. As long as I can, if I one day want to have my own, I can work with you guys to do it. And then I can migrate people onto that. I'm okay waiting it out and like being hosted on VirtuFed's instance for now. And we can, right? Like we've proven that this migration stuff is possible. And so if there is a, you know, if we ever build that instance-based VirtuFed thing where someone can host their own, we can also help with that migration process to their own hosting as well. So, you know, we're not in any rush, but it's something we talk about a lot. And the moment we get a few people that are like, hey, this is starting to get necessary. Like Ryan said, I want to own my own destiny. We're sure there's going to be platforms in the future that want to do that. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's go do it. I'll be ready to do it then. But yeah, right now it just feels like if we build something, we may not build the right thing. And I'd rather not spend time on that and focus on all the other stuff that we've got ahead of us.
No, I think that's perfectly sensible. I wanted to touch on this while we still had you, Ryan. So you guys kind of touched on this element a little bit. I think we're all three of us are aware of the fact that like the nature of bridging is somewhat changing, at least like within the networks, within the network itself. So like, I'm going to bring up Wafern because I think it's such a fascinating edge case.
Yeah.
Wafern is, for those that don't know, it's kind of almost like federated Tumblr. Except, you know, like with blackjack and hookers and basically like a million times crazier. And one of the things that really sets it apart from any other kind of Fediverse platform, except maybe BridgeFed itself, is that it can talk natively to Blue Sky through its own integration, mm-hmm. as well as Speak Activity Pub. And in the past, when we've talked, you guys have sort of brought up that there are certain like wrinkles and challenges that come from having to accommodate for that. So I mm-hmm. just wanted to pick your brains, like, what was that like?
Yeah, I love seeing that. I think Anoush especially loved seeing that. Love that it's a platform doing this kind of natively at the protocol level themselves. And it has a very different design than, I mean, BridgeFed is kind of this independent intermediary, whereas Wafern said, well, yeah, we can do it internally however we want, but we're just going to start speaking at Proto along with ActivityPub. And yeah, it's great. Yeah, brings me back to that account links conversation. It's first step is just getting this stuff to work at all. The second step is to get it to cooperate and like work well together, right? And so at a very basic level, so if you got a Blue Sky user that Wafern bridges into the Fediverse, and then if they're also bridged by activity or by BridgeFed, then that's kind of two, now they're kind of bridged twice separately.
Yeah.
And those two versions of them don't know about each other. And so, and that's kind of the simplest description of the problem. It just gets kind of uglier. And so there's a next step that we and, you know, Gabo and probably lots of other people should do to figure out how to make this stuff aware of it, each other. Yeah. But no, I love seeing it.
Yeah, no, it just struck me as like a very unique edge case that up to this point we hadn't really seen.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's kind of like maybe reading the tea leaves, maybe just kind of seeing like hints of what's to come, but like, oh, the circumstances that we're building for might like actually change in certain ways, and we have to like keep a conversation going.
Yeah.
Andrews likes Wuffern too.
Oh, I love Wuffern. I like
the community is so funny.
I was going to say, like, both from a conceptual standpoint from the technology that they've built, but also just the community is just, oh my God. But yeah, this is one of the other reasons why I'm like, we need to figure out when we're talking about BridgeFed being able to be like self-hostable, what does that shape mean? Because you look at Wuffern and it feels like they've kind of taken it a step further than bridging, right? Because it's not just when someone on AT Proto interacts with you on Wuffern, they don't have to be bridged, right? Because they're directly interacting with that native AT Proto account and it surfaces on Wuffern. That's like a step forward from what we do. Like that is incredibly cool because of the way he built it to be so native. So to me, that's like that step forward. So when I say like what shape would like a self-hosted BridgeFed look like, that's a part of what I mean of like,
it could just be part of a stack for a platform.
Right. Yeah. When it's localized, there's so much more that you can do. And so I'd be interested in like, if a platform is ever interested in doing this or service providers ever interested in doing this, it would be like, is this something that's necessary or do you just not, like, if they don't care, then that's fine. But I would imagine a lot of platforms would be like, how do we do that? And that would kind of change the shape of what that integration and like self-hosting would look like. Look, maybe most platforms won't care. And those would be like, oh, just give me BridgeFed. Nice to me. And that's fine too. But man, I look at Wuffern and I'm like, I want everything to look like that. That's super cool, right?
Yep. Genius.
But that's also the part of the reason why I'm willing to wait for a partner, because I'm like, I want one of those partners to tell me they want that. So then I can be like, yes, we're going to build a bunch of Wufferns. Like, it's going to be super cool. And you're never going to be able to replicate that community. But man, that technology is so cool. I'd love to see that happen across a lot of other platforms.
I hate to say I got to turn into a pumpkin, but I've loved this. It's so great, Sean. You all should please keep talking.
Okay. Ryan, it's always a delight to have you. I really love the energy you bring to these conversations, and it's just really great to be able to pick your brain as this whole thing has evolved and taken on a new life. You know, you guys seem to be hitting your stride. You seem happy, and it seems like you're solving really cool problems that you're thinking about constantly. So I'm really happy to see it.
Thank you, man. Yeah. And likewise, you and Damon and you for a long time have done this space a huge service, kind of really dedicated, knowledgeable beat reporting like this. It's underappreciated.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. Enjoy your turning into a pumpkin. And, please, if you ever have any news to give to us or anything you want to talk about, we're all ears.
Yes, sir. Will do. Thanks, guys.
See you, Ryan. Chat with you soon.
Bye, Ryan. Oh man.
Yeah. Great guy.
Oh, what a great guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess like we've talked a lot about like what a new social is doing. You know, you are obviously repping your brand wearing that sweatshirt that you can buy
on
a new social's
wearing merch it out drop. At this point, honestly.
But I also wanted to touch on the fact that like just a few weeks ago, we got to see each other at FediCon and just wanted to sort of talk about like what the vibes were there. Just kind of like, for one thing, like you kind of look at the hypothetical of like, okay, we got 200 Fediverse people in a room, like maybe half of them are developers trying to figure out how to build what they specifically want for it. What was that like? What was the experience like? I personally came away from it with really positive vibes. But it was also extremely draining on my social battery.
Yeah, social battery was definitely a thing. And I think that was for everyone in the room. You could tell by that Saturday night after party, you could tell everyone was like sitting around each other, but were a lot quieter than the night before. These kind of events are always draining. But I think a lot of the reason it was draining was because of the energy in the room. And like,
it was intense.
I don't think like, it was a break in between anything because a presentation would stop and would end, and then we'd go on break. And there'd be like five or six people that you'd want to chat with. And like, it was just kind of this constant flow of like solving problems and chatting with each other and discussing new ideas and all that kind of stuff. And
I felt bad because there were points where I really wanted to talk to Dan's up. I really wanted to, like, you know, talk to specific people and spend time with them. And, like, they're 100%. Just welcome time. They're, you know, every, like, little, like, walking to get food or small interaction turns into this, like, fabulous, like, hypothetical conversation. And you're just like, well, I guess I'll see him eventually.
No, seriously, right? Like, there's this one break in between where it ended up being a little bit longer than we were expecting. So Ben Pate, the person that
filmed
the bandwagon, phenomenal human. I actually just chatted with him this morning.
He's talking to him tomorrow.
There you go, right? He's such an amazing guy. And like in between, he's like, hey, I want to chat with you guys about like bridging and like how that can work. So we just went on a walk. And within like, I think it was like a 10, 15 minute walk, we figured out a bunch of different ways that we could collaborate and think through some of the problem solving that he's been thinking about on cross protocol stuff and all of that. And by the end of it, we're like, I think we have a plan. Right. And so today when we hopped on the call today was like just picking up where we left off, and it was like, here's like the closing things that we got to do before we move forward or anything. And then he's going to kind of go away. We're going to kind of go away and work on the things that we have to. But like, that was like one example of the energy in that room of like, you know, I had many conversations with Julian, the guy that the co-founder of the BP.
Super funny dude too.
Amazing guy, right? Like, and I can go down the list. Michael Foster, Newsmass, Jazz. I can do this for hours.
This
right?
is where
Evan Pedromo, right?
I tried to articulate this in my recap that I posted the other day, and like, I found that words failed me to express just like how positive these interactions were.
Yeah,
so like, know these like incredibly passionate, knowledgeable people. Like, have like the craziest high level conversations with them and just mix and mingle and enjoy each other's weirdness, you know?
And not just that, like the friendliness, right? Like, I showed up on day one and Jesse Carmani, the founder of Frequency, she's just like wearing one of these shirts.
Amazing.
And like, I was like, this is the first time we're meeting, right? Like, and we were talking as if we'd known each other for years, right? Like, everyone in that room, it felt like we've spoken online a lot. And you walk into that room and it's like we're just continuing where we left off. And it was, so there was that side of it of like the energy and the friendliness of everybody. But even in places where you would imagine that there'd be tension, like there were folks like me and Boris Mann who kind of love AT Proto, right? Like we both are on Activity Pub. We love Activity Pub. But we also see the benefits of this other ecosystem existing and like, we want to share some of that knowledge over to the Activity Pub folks, because that did drive a lot of conversations around like, okay, here are the gaps that we have on Activity Pub. So maybe we should actually focus on these things. And like, the good thing was there were already people that were focused on some of these problems, but I'll never forget it. Like Boris was up there doing his presentation and his presentation wasn't technical. His presentation was purely, look at all of these different things that are being built on the AT Proto side that you may not be aware of. And there's a whole bunch of people in my row that were building on Activity Pub that had no idea that there was so much activity happening on the other side.
And they're really polished too. There's a
very
lot
polished.
Of high level, like, comprehensive platforms.
Yeah.
Well designed, and they're doing crazy things with it.
Yeah. And like that could have driven tension, right? Of like, oh, they're like competitors. But I remember even people that are building in the Activity Pub space sitting down and being like, what made it one so easy for them to build so fast? How is that ecosystem flourishing? And I had no idea about it, right? And it didn't even come from a space of like, I can't believe people are building there. It was more of just like people seem like they're having fun over there. I should probably go check it out, right? And by the way, it was like a similar feel at Atmosphere, where when you talk about Fediverse projects, they're like, I had no idea that existed, and then they go and check it out, right? So it's not just like Fedicon being like this, like opening the doors to the AT Proto world. I've seen this on the other side where like you open people up to the other side and they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Why don't we have that? Right.
As someone that straddles both networks, you know, I've like tried to follow a philosophy of not cheering for any particular team.
Right.
But like, it's really interesting when I share like Fediverse stuff on Blue Sky through our We Distribute presence there, that usually it gets quite a lot of interaction and traction. There's like not a lot of cheering or drama unless I'm reporting on a dumpster fire. But like if it's like a technical thing or someone built something cool, people get excited about it. They don't really care that like, hey, this is a specific ecosystem that's not ours.
Yeah, it's like, you know, just to kind of bring it back to Fedicon, like, they're just there is some negativity that you see online about this stuff. But I think a lot of the people that are building in this space and understand, like, we're not the only ones in the room here, like, there are other things happening. Like, it did really open some doors to some conversations that I thought were very, very necessary. And it could have been tense, right? Like, it could have been very tense in that room. I didn't see that at all, which was great to see. And again, like, I saw the same thing on the Atlasphere side. So it's pretty cool to see just kind of how, you know, that friendliness and that, like, collaborative nature transcends any, like, technology or anything like that. People just want to know how this stuff works, find out what gaps they got to solve, or, you know, does it just make sense to bridge over and, like, get some of those benefits on the other side by doing that? So it was, like, really, really great to see. I think everyone came in with open minds and open hearts to talk about some of these problems we have to solve. It was a lot of fun.
Well, and I've always been of the opinion that, like, every single protocol, every single project has ideas, approaches to problems that other ones did not necessarily come across. And sometimes that bears fruit, you know. We have certain deficiencies in ActivityPub, for better or for worse. HTProto has their own complexities. Nostr has its own shortcomings. Yeah. But there are a lot of things that you can take ideas from each one and say, that would actually work really well in this other system. Right. You know, it would be, I would love to see Nostr-style relays work within the Fediverse. Yeah. That's just my opinion. But, like, you can take these academic ideas and they fit together better than you would think.
Yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, they may be all fundamentally different in many ways, whether it's, like, architecture-wise, whatever. But there's, like, these common threads you can draw, which is why something like Bridge Effect can exist, right? Because there are these, like, very common things that all of these things do. And even though they do them very differently, they solve similar problems in drastically different ways. And that trickles down to the user experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key thing here. That's what I was trying to drive through at like, my last, like, at FediCon and at Atmosphere Conference was, like, people should just be able to choose what they're comfortable with and, like, what user experience makes sense to them. It is the fact that the technologies and the way that they work trickle down to that user experience. But the average user doesn't care, right? For them, it's either a user experience decision or it's a or moral decision or whatever it is. They decide that this space makes more sense to me. I think the goal that we need to have is just let people be where they want to be, not think about the technology that's driving those decisions, and still be able to, like, find the people that they want to find. Because, like, that's what they're there for. Like, they're not, you know, there are people that use social media to make a statement when they choose a specific platform or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, people, like, really just want to find, like, their people, right? And so we need to be able to enable that functionality more so than anything. And then when they find that, hey, maybe I made the wrong decision here and I probably should have went there, I actually like the user experience more there, or I like the privacy features over here more, they should be able to say, like, no, I want to balance and, like, do the migration, right?
And of course you're going to have your own difficulties in implementing ideas from another thing, you know, like, you know, we can't just simply, like Ryan said, we can't just take our own version of DID and shove it into the ActivityPub schema and structure without massively overhauling a lot of things. It's possible, and maybe someday that might actually be feasible.
Yeah.
But, like, for us to do a similar thing, we'd have to take a very different approach, even if conceptually we could recreate it in a similar fashion.
Right.
But as far as ad results are concerned.
Yeah. But the fact that there's like an opposing ecosystem, maybe not opposed, a competing ecosystem, right? It kind of forces you to think these problems through, right? This idea of being able to move your identity from personal data server to personal data server and maintaining, like, all of your posts and your social graph on the ActivityProto side has influenced the conversations that we're having on ActivityPub to be like, okay, looks like a lot of people like that specific thing about ActivityProto. You know, there's a lot of stuff that people may not care about ActivityProto, but that specific thing resonates to people in general, because that's what they were complaining about on the ActivityPub side all along, right? Like, even before a lot of this, like, competitions to start, there's this conversation of, like, why can't I move all my posts, right? And we've been having that conversation for a while, but it wasn't until, like, Blue Sky exploded where it was like, okay, oh. like, yeah, like people really do care about this one specific feature. And if we don't solve it, people are going to choose the other thing. And so we need to start thinking about it.
I might get tarred and feathered for saying this, but I think Blue Sky blowing up is one of the best things that could have happened to the Fediverse, because that competition has really forced us to refocus on what's important. And granted, there's a lot of like community drama sometimes. There's a lot of people that project very loud voices about, oh, I think this company's evil because X, Y, Z, or it doesn't conform to my mental model of how something should be. But at the same time, like, it's forced us to take it more of an underdog position and say, okay, they have 25 million users. Obviously, they're doing a few things right. We need to be a little more objective about, like, how do we deal with our own problems in a way that could help us get to that level?
Yeah, and I think it's like 30,
get us there.
38 million now, actually. Like, they've grown quite a bit.
Yeah.
Wow. But again, like, I in a lot of ways agree with you. That said, right, you also made another note about, like, there is a corporation behind it. Mm-hmm. And you know me, right? Like this thing, right? Like the people on platform. Like, you shouldn't trust any of these organizations to make good decisions for you. Because no. We've seen what happens. And I know folks at Blue Sky, they're incredible people, like engineers and leaders aside, like just as humans, they're very incredibly people. Like, I've spoken to a lot of them, right? So I know that the people who are there today are driving this mission, and they really do believe in this mission. But those people may not always be there, right? And maybe 5 years from now, if, you know, AT Proto is still very consolidated on Blue Sky, and a new leadership team and a bunch of new team members come in and they change the direction of the project, and all of this stuff happens, we as people that believe in these protocols should be able to have a tool like Balance or something like that to be like, yeah, here's your escape hatch, you can leave. Because, yeah, you shouldn't trust any of these organizations. You shouldn't trust the platform you're on the Fediverse, and you shouldn't trust the platform you're on AT Proto. Like, you just shouldn't. You need to be able to give yourself the leverage and the tools to be able to make your own decisions.
Yeah.
And so you can ignore Blue Sky, and you can ignore AT Proto, and you can distrust that whole ecosystem. But at the end of the day, if the people over there, if you get proven right on your side, and the users over there actually got failed, right? Like, they actually need an escape. Look at what happened with Twitter. We couldn't move everyone over from Twitter.
Draw parallel, yeah.
Because there was no way for people to keep their social graphs.
Yeah.
So shouldn't we prepare for that next time that happens? Of like, if it so happens that everybody was right about this organization that may go rogue, actually goes rogue 10 years from now, shouldn't we be ready for that and be like, okay, here's your escape hatch to be pub. Let's make sure you can keep as many people as possible. Like, to me, that's really the goal. And I count this the other way too, right?
Yeah.
As much as we don't, you know, say it often enough, there is kind of a centralization that has occurred on the Fediverse. Maybe not at a network level, but from
almost
a
like
way things should work.
Ideological level, kind of.
Ideological or even like a feature set, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Mastodon is now starting to launch quote posts. For a long time, they didn't. And that was the experience of most people on the Fediverse, because we have centralized around a specific platform. It's a good one. But whatever decisions they make impact the most people across that ecosystem. You can fork it. You can build a competing platform. All that is true. But you need to agree with the fact that majority of people on the Fediverse get that Mastodon experience, for better or for worse, right?
Right.
I use Mastodon. And I like it. But
those changes affect the fabric of the thing.
Right.
You know, exactly. To put it another way, to sort of take your Twitter example, Twitter in a lot of ways was a cultural and engineering marvel for what it was. Like, they built up a very robust, sophisticated set of systems. They, you know, had pretty high level organizational structures that were able to kind of account for things like trust and safety on a global scale and compliance with like all kinds of different governments around the world. You know, they had a lot of things figured out, and like, you can have all these fixtures to something, but if the spirit that operates those fixtures, if the spirit of the organization fundamentally changes, like you said, if all the people in Blue Sky left, you get X, or at least you could get X.
Yeah. And frankly, that, again, right, Mastodon is heralded by some very kind-hearted, hardworking people today.
Yeah.
10, 20 years from now, is that going to be true? I don't know, right? Like, we've seen how even nonprofits with good-hearted people over time change. And the people that believed in those nonprofits no longer believe in those nonprofits, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
humans are also not super great at intergenerational stewardship.
Right. And so for me, it's, let's give people, like, yes, you can choose to ignore everything else that's happening because you distrust it. And I think that's fine. But there is value in making sure that we don't end up in that same Twitter situation again, where there is a better option and you have not given people the on-ramp to that better option, especially if it's possible to give people that on-ramp. Before it wasn't. You could never have done that with Twitter or Facebook or anything like that, right? Like, that just, they didn't give you the tools. But the way AT Proto is built and the way Activity Pub is built, there's this adversarial interoperability that you can build in between. That you don't, when we build Bounce, we didn't hop on a call with Mastodon or Blue Sky to be like, are you okay with us building this? We just went and built it. We hopped on one call with Blue Sky to ask them a question, and that was it. Other than that, we built this in a vacuum. Like, we actually didn't speak to either platform owner or anything. We just went ahead and did it, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's, if you can do something like that, if I don't have to ask permission to build something like this that is going to drive value for users that may want to have that escape hatch exist because they've experienced the hell that happened after Twitter, or for me, you know, Ryan mentioned that I've been thinking about this for years, and that's because of Google Plus. Like, it's, oof. Yeah. Wake up in a cold sweat some nights thinking about it, right? Like, it's the worst feeling of losing your whole community.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, like, if it's possible not to let that happen again, then, like, it is our responsibility as people who understand this stuff to build that stuff in between and say, next time this happens, I'm going to try and make sure that your communities and my communities don't get detached. Like, we should be able to continue where we left off. And if some people want to stay on Blue Sky or Mastodon after something goes wrong on either side, that's fine too, right? Like, I want to use the thing that works best for me. I just want to make sure that I can connect to the people that I care about. And that 100%. Should be the center of all of this work, right?
I think that's something that gets lost a lot. I'm not going to just, like, sit there and blame the algorithms, because I think, like, that's kind of a nebulous way of describing the problem. But I think, like, the profit motive of Facebook, sometimes, like, the elements of needing to put algorithms that show you other content to keep you on a platform longer, it sort of robs you of the whole point of you signing up in the first place, which was to see your friends and family and communicate with them.
Right. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that's, like, an failure of algorithms, because I've seen
there are external factors.
There's actually this For You feed that recently launched by someone who does work for Blue Sky, because AT Proto allows you to do this, right? You can build your own custom feeds. Mm-hmm. And this custom feed does this thing where it, like, looks at what your network is liking and stuff like that. And it, like, it's better than the Discover feed that Blue Sky has for me. I actively now use that For You feed. And let me tell you, Sean, like, it does not work the way that the Twitter and other algorithms have worked, or even for that matter, for Threads, where, like, I don't leave angry, because I think the people that I follow tend to like posts that I'm actually going to like, and not shit that's going to make me angry. And it kind of works really well in a way where, like, I leave Blue Sky feeling happy, which is a weird experience to talk about when you're talking about social media. But, like, whatever this person has done with this For You feed is the incentives are not, let me keep you here for as long as possible, or let me make sure you're interacting with as much stuff as possible, or let me serve you as many ads as possible. The goal of this feed was probably an engineer that was like, oh, I can make this better. Yeah. I can make this so that, like, I see more relevant stuff for myself. They made it and they're like, oh, this is pretty cool. I'll deploy it for everyone else. And then it turned out it became, like, one of the most popular feeds on the network, because other people were like, wow, this is working, right? Like, luckily the people that I follow are good people, or, like, at least good enough people that they're not liking trash that I'm going to be angry at.
Yeah.
And it's like this really, like, and like, to give you an example of why it like makes me happy, I follow a lot of folks that are building in these spaces, right? Like whether it's Safety Proto or Activity Pub. So my For You feed ends up being a bunch of people boosting other people's projects and talking about how cool they are, or something that someone posted on their blog, and someone that I'm following or someone that I'm following who's following someone else reposted that and said, check out this amazing blog post that my friend wrote, right? And so you end up in a space where you're like, my For You feed is not like this, like, look at all this terrible news. It's check out all this cool stuff my friends are building. And now all of a sudden I have all of this new knowledge about this ecosystem that I didn't have before. And I'm connecting with a bunch of developers that I didn't before because I follow developers who follow developers. I follow organizations that follow organizations and like their posts and repost their posts. And it's like, this great, joyful experience in this feed. It's not blue sky.
I want to see this on the Fediverse, you know? Like,
yeah.
Our community sometimes acts like, you know, algorithms are the devil. We should only do things chronologically ordered. There are some benefits to doing it that way, but like custom algorithms and being able to use them however you want is an amazing idea.
Yeah.
And like the very like use case you're putting out in front of me, like that is exactly what I would love to see when I log in every day.
Yeah, I'll share it with you after this. It's a fantastic feed. No, seriously, like it has changed my Blue Sky experience. And like specifically, I want to call out about this because I think it's important to state. This is a feed that was not built by Blue Sky. It was not built with Blue Sky's technology, like Blue Sky, like it's nothing Blue Sky specific. It is an AT proto level custom feed. Right?
Whoa, okay.
So we're talking about something where, like, it is an independent project that just so happens to show up on the Blue Sky app. And it has become one of the most, I think it became the second most popular feed over the last few days. And the only reason it's not the top one is the top one fills a gap of bookmarking where if you put a pin on a post.
Okay, yeah.
It saves it for later for yourself. And so it's a utility-based feed.
Right.
And so you're never going to beat that, right? Like that's just, you know, it's kind of like a non-Blue Sky PDS competing with BridgeFed. We automate a lot of that onboarding on the PDSs. Mm-hmm. So we have this giant leg up on every other PDS hosting service out there. In the same way, right? Like that's a utility-based thing. So it's never going to beat it. But this For You feed's become like the second most popular feed. And like, if we're being frank, to me, it is the most popular actual custom feed, right? It's crazy. And it's not built by Blue Sky. And you see Blue Sky engineers, I think the CTO of Blue Sky, Paul Frazee, he shared the For You feed. He's like, this is awesome. He's like, what the hell is this? Why don't we call it this, right? Like, he was like, this is amazing. And that's like, I have two feeds that I use pretty actively on Blue Sky now. One is that For You feed, and then my mutuals feed. Because I love my mutuals, right? Like, it's people that I interact with all the time and interact with me. So I usually, when I'm on Blue Sky, those are the two feeds I silo myself in. Those two and then quiet posters, which is like people that don't post a lot and they kind of get drowned in the feed. They show up in quiet posters. So those three feeds like get me everything I need out of Blue Sky. And look, if there's that stuff happening in the world, I'll leave a little angry because like people tend to share that stuff. Sure. But generally when I go onto Blue Sky now, if I'm in those three feeds, I just get the stuff that I need out of it. I connect with people that I didn't know before. I start interacting with folks that I didn't know before. And that's it. And then I go and I go to the next social media. I go to Mastodon, right? And then I interact with people there. But like,
crazy is that it sounds like you could use that to actually consume your Mastodon feed. Like you could just use the bridged accounts and then use that algorithm over on Blue Sky and just view it that way.
Oh, I see bridged accounts in that For You feed all the time because I follow people over the bridge on Blue Sky. So it's indiscriminate about where they're coming from. So if they're bridged, they're still on the AT Pro, like they're still on the Blue Sky relay, right? So I still see, so they're treated as first class citizens on the platform. And so, I follow Charles, the guy that runs Fedicon on Blue Sky via the bridge. And whenever he posts like the videos from Fedicon, those tend to dribble up to the top of that For You feed because a bunch of people that I know liked it.
Yeah.
And so there's been times where I like go to the For You feed, he'll be the first person there with a post that he just made. Right? Like yeah, that's who I Charles is a great friend. I want to see him first when I go to Blue Sky.
Right.
Everyone else can come afterwards. I want to see my friend's stuff. And he comes up first, right? And the second thing I'll see is like this new cool AT Proto app that launched and like a bunch of cool people being like, check this thing out. That's pretty cool, right? And it's just like this joyful experience, right? So like, you know, I know we kind of...
No, that is such a cool way to approach discovery though.
But as far as algorithms go, right? Like when those incentives aren't there around a big company trying to sell you ads, just keep you in the app for as much as possible so you don't go to the other app, those incentives drive pretty crappy algorithm experience. But when those incentives aren't there, you know, chronological is good. I still enjoy chronological feeds.
Sure.
But then you get this experience of like, this is what an algorithm can look like when there's like, I don't want to say like an altruistic method to it, but like, there's less negative incentives around it.
Right.
You tend to get, funny enough, a positive experience, right? And then there's the other side too of like something like SandPN doing the catch up feed.
Oh my God.
Or not feed, rather. It's like the catch up tool. And to me, both of those things need to exist, right? There should be a for you feed that I can scroll and I can see all the stuff that I want to see. And then there should be this thing where it's just like this dashboard of stuff that has happened.
Right.
Right.
Here's a subset of that feed that happened over the last 28 hours.
Right. And that's awesome too, right? In fact, I would love to be able to catch up on my For You feed, right? And just be like, all the stuff that's in this feed, capture it for me in one place and just show me all the stuff that this feed wants me to see. And chances are it's probably going to be giving me a decent experience, right?
It's a deprecated project at this point. I don't think anyone's working on it, but Skyfeed does allow you to bridge Mastodon API clients.
It's unfortunately down right now. I love Skyfeed.
Oh, no, I just mean like the repo still exists. Like hypothetically, you could run it yourself.
Yeah.
You could hook up Fanfi and then put that feed in there and then see Mastodon friends.
I am strongly considering it of like just self-hosting it. I actually have already forked it on my side. And there's like this, at some point, I'll probably end up doing it just for myself because I think I sing the praises of Fanfi all the time. I personally think it's like the best social media experience I've ever had, like bar none. And so if I could bring some of the flavor of Blue Sky and some of the flavor of Fanfi and some of the coolness of Mastodon, like there's something there that when you put all those things together, you get a pretty special product. You know, that's a loftier thing to try and bring all that stuff together.
Right.
And I know Chion, he's built something really well. And hopefully, you know, I know he's like experimented a little bit with AT Proto, but you know, whenever he finds the time, I would love to see his take on what a great Blue Sky client can be.
Oh, yeah.
Interpretation of what Mastodon can be, it's basically canon for me at this point. Like I'm like, that is Mastodon to me is Fanpi. So, you know, like he's a brilliant designer. So I'd really be interested to see what his take on Blue Sky is. Cause knowing him, he's going to approach that problem in a very different way than he has Mastodon. Cause the parameters are so different there. Right. I love it. I know he's been like experimenting with a client that he's been like publicly building. But it's mostly just like ideas. I would, you know, whenever he finds the time, it would be really interesting to see like what that could look like on the other side. But yeah, maybe we use Skybridge, man. Maybe we make that happen. I don't know. It's exciting. It's really, really exciting and exhilarating to be in the space. I know that there's like a protocol for publishers thing happening in New York right now as well.
Amount of fruit being born for Task Force, which I always like kind of worry when a new Task Force is announced. I'm like, oh God, this is going to be kind of bureaucratic. But like, Julian's like really stepped up with the forum group, and like aside from like some small complaints, like NodeBB works beautifully with the Threadiverse.
Yeah,
like the Threadiverse mostly works perfectly, other than like some small things.
It's
awesome. Long form content is slowly getting better. There's still some rough edges, but like at least like you can make like a short blurb preview on Mastodon and a full article somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
So like we're thinking about things that used to actually really suck. And
again, right? Like when you got competition, you do have to kind of step up and be like, how do I make this better and make it more appealing? But like on the topic of like long form, right? Like you're starting to see this like deeper interest from the publishing side of the world, because they're realizing how important owning your whole distribution is, right? Like not parts of it, not just a website, not just an account on a social media platform. Like you've got to own your audience. And it's exciting to see, like, you know, you had your Verges and stuff that saw this and wanted to build on top of it. But now it's starting to kind of spread across to other publishers, and they're starting to realize what they need to do, especially outside the U.S. Like we're kind of in a little silo, but outside the U.S., you're starting to see a lot of publishers like reach out and be like, how do we do this in like a scaled way? And like, how do we own our own distribution and our own discovery and all that kind of stuff? It's cool to see, man. Like, I think it took a little bit of time for it to catch on, but you're starting to see these like normalization things start to happen. I'm excited to see what Ben does with musicians on Bandwagon. There's a lot of tools for publishers out there now that tap into the protocols.
I'm excited to see things that are actually purpose fit. I think we're like still in the throes of, hey, let's just bolt a protocol onto things.
Right.
You know, so I'm not going to trash talk WordPress outright, but like the integration work the team is doing is great.
Yeah.
But like WordPress was not conceived as a purpose-built thing for publishing in a federated environment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of retrofitting that has to happen.
Yeah.
I would love to see tools that are purpose-built for that. I think that is one advantage that, like you said earlier, AtProto kind of has over us, in that they really have like the client architecture figured out over there. But I think we're starting to figure out in our own way how we want to do that in a way that works for us.
Yeah. As far as like long form goes, one that I've been interested on the AT Proto side, I was actually just chatting with one of the folks from the team the other day. It's this thing called Leaflet. Leaflet.pub.
Okay.
And I mean, it's a cool service. Just the user experience that they've built for it. Like it's not like this wild fancy blogging platform. It's very, at least for now, right? Like I'm sure they're thinking through the right approach of like bringing real publishers on. But their approach to design is so like, I don't want to call it classic web, but like it's so unique to this current time. And they've built it in a way where you just like, you sign in with your AT Proto account, whether it's on Blue Sky or other PDS, whatever it is. You just sign into this Leaflet tool. Your same identity, and it just gives you the tools to write in long form.
Yep.
And just the way they package the thing, and like this is a new product, like it's early, like this thing like just started existing like I think a few weeks to a couple months ago, like this is brand new.
Yeah.
And I'm already looking at it like, oh, this is a thing, right? So like they've got the AT Proto stuff set up. I believe they're now focused on email because they know how important email distribution is.
Yeah, I do.
When I look at something like this and I'm like, yeah, like we're starting to see, you know, on the AT Proto side, because you don't have to worry about the identity stuff, you don't have to build a platform that does everything all at once because you can sign into multiple platforms and it's the same social graph. So you can go to Leaflet and do long form and like you have your same social graph over there and everyone's seeing the same stuff, right? So it's like, yeah, it's pretty wild what they're doing.
I will say it's very interesting to see Evan talking up the C2S API for ActivityPub. Yeah. It's something that I've been rooting for a long time, and it's largely been ignored. But I think like that very use case of, hey, we don't have to have a platform that does everything. We could just make a bunch of clients and then just use like a small part of C2S to act as like the authentication piece and a piece for like sending data back to your identity or your instance or whatever, like that's totally feasible. Yeah. I think like we could see a situation where we don't have to just use Masto API bolted onto 15 different platforms to do things.
Yeah, it's been something that I've been thinking a lot about. You know, I think I'm trying to remember. There's this single actor hosted self-hosted platform, Hollow. The same folks that built Fedify. And I believe it's Hong and he and Amelia is working on Hollow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's his platform.
Yeah. Super, super cool idea. And what he's built is, doesn't have a client by default. What he's done is it's like an activity pub server, and then it uses the Mastodon API. Unfortunately, like I wish it was an activity pub PBI, but I know why.
But it's at least leading towards that idea of like, hey, you don't need a crazy web interface. Like you can have something simple, and then just like everything is a client.
And then you plug Fanfi, like you can choose Fanfi. There's like two or three other clients that it supports because it's Mastodon, right? So it supports a bunch of Mastodon clients. And I was like, that's so cool. Like he didn't have to go and build a full stack. He just built this thing. And so one of the things that
he needed. He built just enough of what he needed.
Just enough of what he needed with his skill set. And like, I'm like on the verge of poking him and being like, can you also support the activity pub CDS thing? Because like, no, honestly, like
right? I'm not like, laughing at you. Right?
Yeah, like this is important. Like this is one of the big reasons why people enjoy building on the AT Pro side as well, is because Bluestar themselves supports the C2S API. And like there's clients out there that don't even interact with any of Blue Sky's infrastructure directly. There's clients that already exist that do that. They talk directly to either relays or PDSs themselves.
Yeah.
Right? So some of those PDSs may be on Blue Sky infrastructure. But right, like the way that it's built is like it doesn't require Blue Sky, which is like this why like I don't think a lot of people on the activity pub side parse that.
I was just gonna say
that's possible. Right?
I think it's like these two worlds have very different understandings of what clients are. I think in the activity pub world, the clients are understood as like front end applications or mobile apps. Right. Or sometimes like a little terminal utility doodad. But within the Blue Sky world, it is more or less C2S. It is just like, hey, define the logic however you want. You can store whatever data is generated with it as long as it's valid. Yeah. And you can build entirely bespoke experiences off of that.
Seriously. And I think anyone that, you know, I think Kuba put together a really good AT Proto kind of
starter. I need to read it.
Starter article that I think is really helpful. But if you want to see AT Proto's like decentralization, like the way that they've done decentralization and how it can work in action, like take a look at what Black Sky is doing.
Yeah, that's my next major article.
That thing started as a custom feed.
Yeah,
and moderation stack. And now they're migrating people to their own PDSs.
Yep.
They are writing their own relay. They're writing their own at view, and they already have a client.
That's so cool.
From the inside of Blue Sky, they started inside of the Blue Sky stack.
They carved out enough of it.
Piecemeal drifting away and becoming a competitor in their own right.
Right. And yet they can interoperate just fine.
Fully interoperate on data. Like it is this. It's so unique. I always say this. It's like it's so uniquely AT Proto in a way that I don't even think Blue Sky expected it to happen. And the reason I say that is if you go back and you like hear about the way that they were thinking about how like PDSs and relays and stuff would work, the way they thought about it was like there'd be a bunch of organizations running a bunch of relays and app views and stuff like that. But Black Sky came out of a community, right? Like it wasn't. It's now more of an organization, and like it had to become one just in the way they operate, but like it just started with a guy that wanted to build something, Rudy Fraser, who wanted to build something for his community. It became bigger and he realized that he can do these things and like he can build like this whole other island for his community, run it the way that his community needs it to run, and still be tapped into the rest of the stuff. And he didn't have to do it overnight. He didn't have to like disappear into a cave for like six to 12 months, build this thing from the ground up, the whole thing. Like he's doing it as we speak. It's happening one by one, one person at a time, one piece of the stack at a time. And over time, like I can see Black Sky just becoming this thing that sits right next to it. And the coolest thing about what he's done is one, it's all open source, just the way that Blue Sky stuff is. But a part of the organization, a part of where he wants to take his organization, is help other communities use that same stack to do literally what he's done.
Yeah.
And so if I want to start a community for my own like community,
you can
go to Black Sky and be like, hey, let's spin something up, set me up, the whole staff. I want to be independent from Black Sky in the same way that Black Sky is independent from Blue Sky, but I want this to be for my community. Like, just give me the tools and I'm going to go do it. Or I can turn around and do exactly what Rudy did and write my own code. Like, do it myself,
right. You have the freedom to do that too.
Or I can go and fork off of whatever Blue Sky's built, right? Like, there's just this, like, yeah. I truly believe Rudy has shifted the way that whole ecosystem is working. And it has changed the way that people think about how to build on AT Proto. It is just one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen in the space. If anybody is interested in finding out about how, you know, whether AT Proto is decentralized or not, and how it's decentralized, and how you can take advantage of that decentralized, how you can adversarially interoperate with that ecosystem, like, Rudy's done it, man. Like, I think Rudy has written the blueprint for how you should do this. If you want to do it in a way that's like piecemeal and not like this full stack solution.
It's so wild to think about, because he was one of our early interviews for the Descender podcast back when he was just doing, I don't want to say just, because it was like a big undertaking still.
Yeah.
He was, you know, the feed operator, and he was running his own custom feed algorithms and stuff. Like, he was building the infrastructure back then, and it was cool. It was really impressive, actually, but like, to see like how far it's gone, that he's like basically built his own Blue Sky for his community, is mind blowing.
Yeah. And that was the other thing to me too, is like, I remember when we were building Bounce, I was like, I don't know if I want to, like, when we migrate people from ActivityPub over to AT Proto, I think I want to start with migrating people to the Blue Sky PDSs, just because like there's this like trust factor there. And I thought that most average users wouldn't be comfortable going to a non-Blue Sky PDS.
Sure.
But Rudy flipped that upside down for me, because a bunch of people in his community were just like, yeah, I'd rather be on your PDS then. And like, people that didn't know what a PDS was went and learned what it is via the resources that Rudy was giving them. And they're like, yeah, I would so much rather be on Black Sky's PDSs than on Blue Sky's. And they did it. And I was like, oh, I misunderstood this. I actually think that there's an appetite to go on non-Blue Sky PDSs. It's not like a deep interest in not being a part of this kind of larger organization's infrastructure and being a little bit more independent. And so like, one of the things that we called out in our launch blog post inbound was like, hey, if you're a non-Blue Sky PDS that wants to work with us, like, give us a shout. Like, let's figure this thing out. Because it turns out users actually kind of appreciate the fact that these things exist. And maybe we don't have to wait for Blue Sky to do the, you know, the migration inwards. Because one of the reasons Bounce launched one way is Blue Sky's PDSs don't currently support migrating into them. They only support migrating out. And so that's one of the reasons we didn't end up doing that. But if there's this appetite for like non-Blue Sky PDS hosting for average people, and, you know, probably people using Bounce who understand this stuff a little bit better will be okay with choosing from a bunch of different PDS providers, I'm happy to do that. Like, let's go to and do that instead, because that actually kind of makes sense. And so, like, you know, Rudy's like really kind of not just inspired me, but like, he's kind of changed my thinking about, you know, maybe we don't give average users enough credit. I think if you give them, you know, not just motivation. I think a lot of times we talk about these like grand ideas about the open social web and these nebulous ideas, but when you give them this like tangible thing of like, you're going from this to this, but you're still here.
Yeah.
And they like see how, like, once they migrate, they're like, oh, I'm still here.
Right.
Like, I don't think we give average users enough credit that like, once they like take that one step where they like take those 5 minutes to like understand what's going on, most people, like, they may not understand like the in-depth, you know, machinery that makes all this stuff work, but they can draw that map in their head and be like, oh, right, point A to point B, but still in the same country, right?
Given enough time, you can develop an intuition about these things.
Right, right. You don't need to understand what a relay is or an AppView is or what a PDS is. You just need to understand that you are being hosted elsewhere, but still a part of that web that you were already a part of.
Yeah, you can still talk to the same people you were talking to before.
Yeah. So it's like, I realized that, you know, Rudy doing that, and this is the other thing that he did, is he was super public about these migrations. So the more people saw it, the more people saw people moving and not getting impacted negatively, and it actually enjoying the process. the more people were like, oh, this is okay. Like, I think I want to do this too. Right.
Yeah.
And it, like, to me, it was like a, oh, I misunderstood this. I, yeah. I don't think I'm giving people enough credit. Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, DIN PLC is still a centralized part of that ecosystem. It's not great. I hope, and it's very clear that they do have plans to move that to a third party organization, and I hope they do it soon. So you should still keep an eye on that. Like, that is something that we got to hold them accountable of. Like, it's not done till it's done. But
more flexibility than people are willing to give credit.
But the rest of it, like every other layer of that, is very doable now. Relays don't cost as much as they did years ago. I think Ryan earlier in this conversation mentioned that we had to make a change in our PDS as far as like the way syncing goes, because they had a new version of that. It's sync. I think they call it sync 1.1. And it changed the way that it syncs stuff with the relay. And the reason they did that is because they knew relays were expensive to run. And so they actively had a project to reduce cost of running a relay. And I believe now it's like somewhere along the line of like $14 a month to run a relay, right? And it's like, there we are, right? Like, okay, this is now doable. Like, you can do this. And there's more than one relay out there right now running, right?
Right.
So it's like, there you go, right? Like,
a lot of the old criticisms are starting to fall away.
They're starting to fall away. We're starting to see other PDSs, other relays, you know, all of this stuff is starting to come together. There's clients that do things very differently than just like using the whole BlueSky stack. Like, there's a lot happening there. But I think the core thing of it is all of the fair criticisms I think people had of AT Proto very, very early on, and they were fair. I think that team has listened. I think they already knew those were problems, and they already knew they had to solve those problems. And they solved a lot of them, right? I think DIN PLC is the only thing where I'm just like, right? Like, I'm like, y'all better move that, right? Like, that should not be owned by the PDC. Like, that should move. But yeah, man, like the rest of what's happening in that space is very clear that there's this active decentralization happening, and it's happening in a way that I don't even think the BlueSky team expected. Like, I just,
yeah,
I don't think
anyone could have predicted
this was gonna
that
happen the way it is. Like, dude, they already have a Git collaboration platform on AT Proto,
and it
runs on their own stack.
Yeah,
right. It's that in itself. It's like they've created a tool for developers of AT Proto on AT Proto. Crazy, right? And it's good. Like,
again, like, I believe we all have puzzle pieces that can be used to get to where we need to be.
Right.
And there's no sin in drawing inspiration from other protocols and projects.
Yeah.
Like, what you've just described to me, it's very obvious that, like, most people are not even aware of that.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, if you're not actively on BlueSky and, like, paying attention to, like, the developers that are building the stuff right now, you're probably not going to know. But I think it's worth it. And look, you guys are doing a great job reporting on this stuff. Lauren's is doing a great job on the newsletter.
Yeah, I did the same thing the other day.
And to me, it's, if you follow those two publications, Redistribute and Connected Places, like, I think you're probably going to get like 90% of the way there as far as like the knowledge base you need of what's happening in the space. Just, I think yesterday, someone launched a book sharing service on AT Proto.
That does not surprise
me. A book list sharing service, sorry.
Okay.
And it's clean. Like, it's good. Like, it's very good, right? And it's like, same things are happening on ActivityPub. Like, if you're seeing new things pop up every day, just, on Threads today, someone replied to me and they were like, is there still action in this space? Like, is anything happening? And I was like, oh, buddy, just this week, here's the list of things that just happened.
This is exactly
like, it's not
why I brought
down
it up at the FediCon panel, is that it sometimes feels as though on the surface nothing is happening. But you dig and then, like, you hear some of the craziest things that people are working on.
There's so much happening. It is literally impossible to keep up.
It's getting harder to keep up with too. And that's part of why I'm launching a newsletter, is I think if we kind of start bringing the journalists and the independent reporters together, we might have a better shot at keeping track of things and amplifying voices.
There's so much, dude. I am so excited. I think, you know, sitting in between is kind of cool because I do kind of have to pay attention to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more people sit in that middle space,
you can see some really cool things happen.
Yep. And look, we're really just talking a lot about like the products that are popping up in these spaces. There's a lot of like underlying development kits and tools that are being developed underneath too.
Yeah.
And those are like development amplifiers, right? Like they're making a lot of this stuff easier to build. So like, yes, there's a lot of activity on the product side, but even on the development side, you're starting to see a lot of activity that's like super important to like create these like underlying frameworks for people to just like quickly get on and get done. Fedify is a great example on the
edge. I was going to say,
And then there's, I think, ATQ on the AT protocol side, which is really great. I might be misnaming that. But like, there's a bunch of those, right? Like, I'm just giving you two examples. There's so many. Like, Emissary is a good example of a platform that builds platforms, right? Like, there's just so much activity happening, even just like on the underlying infrastructure side.
I think the only pitfall is that sometimes it gets really abstract. And like, while if your head's in the space, you can understand it after a while. Most people, like, they're not going to grasp, like, oh, it's a platform that builds platforms. You know, I've had people that like, they still can't wrap their heads around what Bonfire is.
Yeah, that's
right. And that's right. A hard problem to even begin to explain from high levels of abstraction, what those things actually are in practice to someone that's never seen them before.
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest hurdle, right? I remember talking to someone about just like the AT Proto sign-in process and how you maintain your graph across all these things, but the same stuff might not be shared across all the different platforms that you're signed into because of the lexicons and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was confusing, right? Like it is something that, you know, people don't immediately grasp. But again, I think if you give them the time to like use this stuff and if they sign into two or three different AT Proto platforms, over time, the stuff, like, give them some credit. I think it does, relatively quickly. I remember before a new social or anything like this, I was trying to build this, like, version of Bounce. It wasn't called Bounce back then, but it was this tool that you could bring your Threads follow list into the app. So you would have to download it from the whole, like, download process on Meta's side, and you would they had this section in the Threads data where it had all of the people that you followed who were federated.
Mm-hmm.
And I would essentially ask you to upload that list to the tool, and it would go through all of those people and find out if they're federated or not, just to like double check. Because like maybe it's an outdated list or whatever, it would check Webfinger, it would like run Webfinger on all of them, make sure that they're all actually federated. And then it would give you the option to like download a CSV or like follow each person or like add them all to a list or whatever, right? Like there's a bunch of tools underneath that. But one of the things that I did with that tool, this was like almost by mistake, but I made it so that rather than seeing their usernames, you saw their activity pub address on Threads. So it'd be like @chromatic@threads.net.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was doing some like user testing, I was like showing people this and they were seeing it and they're like, oh, this @threads.net thing, it's like kind of like email. Like, is that how I add people on platforms that aren't mine? And I was like, yeah. And then they copied it. And I was like, why don't you copy that and put it in the Mastodon search bar? And then they saw how, like, when they searched for it, even though that person, quote unquote, didn't exist on the platform, it would like find them and allow them to follow that person on their platform. And just that, like, average users that had no idea this thing existed or like how it was shaped or anything like that before.
But it was made tangible just by doing that. And suddenly the light bulb goes off.
Yeah. And back then I think I didn't have I didn't put the vocabulary together, but like I wasn't giving them enough credit, right? I was planning on removing those addresses and just giving them the usernames. But I realized that just by giving them that one little piece of information, they like connected a whole bunch of dots there where they were like, oh, so if I want to find someone on this, it's like Tumblr Federates, and I want to find someone on Tumblr, I should be able to do like their username at tumblr.com. And I was like, yes, that is
yes, how exactly.
Works, right? But like they were able to like, so like, I don't think we give users enough credit. I think you got to let them play around with this stuff a little bit. I think you need to guide them a little bit, right? Like there is this weird complexity and you need to give them the tools, but I do think we need to give them a little more credit, like let them like play around with this stuff a little bit.
I generally agree. I think as a veteran of the space, one of the hardest problems that I've witnessed is that if you're used to the way things are, you almost develop a kind of tunnel vision around like why that would be hard. You know, I've seen like some pieces of feedback. Like I know that Saskia Welch was reporting on, I think it was like an event in Italy concerning like Mastodon presenting or something. And some audience members had tried to like sign up and choose an instance. And it was too frustrating for them. It was confusing and it didn't make sense because it was making them make a choice before the value proposition was really explained or understood. And so a lot of people in the community are like, well, those people were just dumb. We don't want them here anyway. And like, no, it's a fundamental misunderstanding because you have that tunnel vision too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think one of the things, and this has nothing to do with Mastodon.
No.
I think for me, we talked about like this like weirdly centralized situation that we have on the Fediverse where it's not centralized from like your traditional way of explaining centralized. Yeah. It's the experience has been centralized around one experience.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, not to Mastodon's fault, to be frank, right? Like they just built a great product that people could reuse for their
Just showed up first and
it just happened to be the thing.
Yeah, a lot of things took shape based on that because they were the first implementer.
But because of that, I think it's created this like confusion amongst users of like, if when all this stuff started happening and the Fediverse started to become this thing that people were willing to look at from like when they were finally Twitter, I feel like if there was like six big platforms out there, not just Mastodon, right? Like if there's like Mastodon and like Niski had like this giant user base and, you know, Threads already existed and like was fully federated and like Tumblr was already federated, whatever, right? Then it wouldn't be like a what server should I join situation. Right.
Just what provider do I want?
It's just I'm going to join a platform. Maybe Mastodon's confusing for me because I have to choose a server, so I'm going to try something else. And it would have just been an entry point.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, like we just didn't have that. And again, like to me, this is not the fault of Mastodon. They just happened to build first and they built a good product. And so it just happened to proliferate across the whole Fediverse just to become that common piece of software that people use.
But, I mean, it basically superseded the C2S API because the Masto API was easier.
Right.
And the whole network is shaped through platforms and not clients because of that. It wasn't like a malicious choice. It was just that made sense at the time.
It's just what it was.
Everyone was like, that worked for them. I want those apps too.
Yeah. No, me. Again, right? Like this is just like a series of events that occurred. But this was the other reason that Bounce was super important to like me personally. Because I was like, some people are finding their entry point into the open social web on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
But again, 10 years from now, they may be like, I made a mistake. Or maybe they'll be like, actually, I like this other Fediverse platform better. But I can't reset my whole social graph again. I'm going to be really sad. And so there's this like tool that needs to exist where like if you found your entry point into the Fediverse on Mastodon, or if you found your entry into the atmosphere on Blue Sky, and you've decided the other thing makes more sense for you, like you should be able to like, to me, these are all entry points to a way of thinking about social media rather than this like technological thing that they need to understand.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, who cares where they enter from? Like, let's just bring them into a space where they can communicate with people.
Right. It's just that we had that monoculture for so long. Yeah. And it affected a lot of ways that we thought about things, ways that we did things. And it also caused us to stagnate for a really long time. Like, you know, I think Mastodon's in a much healthier place today than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
100%.
And I'm grateful that at the very least, like, yeah, we still have problems, but like, we're at least innovative enough, or at least like engaged enough as community leaders and community projects, just kind of work around the problem and then say like, okay, we've made this blueprint of how to do it. And that's good enough for like an MVP. And we'll build on that later as more projects weigh in on how to do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, listen, yeah, we got a long way to go, but I'm pretty excited about what's happening right now.
Yeah, man.
We got a lot of problems to solve. So, you know, we got to be heads down and figure. We got to go heads down and like figure that stuff out.
But every bit of progress is exciting. And I think like that gives me a lot of hope to see the ways that people are approaching different problems.
Yeah. 100%. You're, you know, I say this often, it's like the open social web is like this long game that we're playing right now. And you're not going to, you know, we have these moments of mass migration, but more typically it's going to be these like trickles of users that find their way over. There will still be other future mass migrations that we should be prepared for and like give people the tools they need. But I also think we should be okay with a trickle of users coming in and making these spaces inviting, connectable, and easier to understand. And I do think that we're like getting there. I don't think we're there yet, but we're definitely getting closer to it. So yeah, I'm excited to see where it all goes.
Me too. Well, Anuj, it's been a pleasure being able to sit down and talk to you at great length with both you and Ryan. It always like really gets me in a good place to be able to pick through all these different things and just sort of talk about where we're standing today and what we hope to see for the future. Thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, for anyone that's listening, please check out the work that Anu.social is doing. It is phenomenally important work. They're a great team of people. And if you're interested in supporting our podcast, please feel free to pay it forward to our Open Collective at opencollective.com/WeDistribute. We also have recently launched a newsletter that is an attempt to better focus coverage from not just our own publication, but other people writing about the developments of the Fediverse. So check out newsletter.WeDistribute.org as well. Thank you, and you've been the best.